paid it all. All to him I owe. What a beautiful song. Appreciate that special. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 10. God bless you and your family. Matthew chapter 10. If you find your place and you're able, let's stand together to honor the Word of God tonight. It's been a good day. It's been a good few weeks. Vacation Bible School was a great blessing, and we had Sister Amari pray to trust Christ as her Savior Monday night after Bible school. Had a great week. I told you this morning at church camp, some 33, 34 young people praying to trust Christ, their Savior. This morning, folks in the altar and Jonathan came wanting to be saved. I counseled with him after church, and he prayed again, and he believes that if he were to die today, he would go to heaven. Amen. And I encouraged him because I know how it happens. Young people make professions of faith, and later on in life, they get to doubting their salvation and to worry about those things. And so I encourage him, and I encourage anybody, just keep trusting Jesus. You trust him today, trust him every day, and keep trusting him, because our salvation is found in nothing else but in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God is incredibly good to us. And I'm grateful for what he's been doing in lives and hearts. And I'm excited to see what the Lord has in store. And if we'll continue to get in the Word, stay in the Word, be faithful to him, he will be faithful to bless. Matthew chapter 10, we have been studying the previous two Sunday nights. We've been looking at Jesus sending his apostles forth two by two to preach the gospel. And tonight we'll finish up that account in Scripture as the Lord is giving them instructions. And we're really going to focus on verses 34 through chapter 11 and verse 1. But I want you to go back to verse 32 to pick up the last couple of verses we looked at last time so we can remember where we're at here. And he says in verse 32 of Matthew chapter 10, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth the righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give a drink unto one of these little ones in a cup of cold water only, in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities." Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. I pray that you convict our hearts this evening and that you would help us to see the seriousness of following Jesus Christ. Help us to see the high calling that you've given to those that come unto you by faith in Jesus, to see the high demands of the gospel. Lord, I pray you'd help each one of us to count the cost. As most everyone here has made a decision to trust Christ, Lord, may we now be committed from this moment on. From henceforth, we would not serve ourselves, but we would serve you alone. That we would die to self, take up our cross, and follow you daily. Lord, help us to go boldly and proclaim the gospel, to live out a gospel life for your glory. and to bring others to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We ask it in his precious name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. This evening we want to learn about the division that the gospel brings, the dedication that the gospel requires, and the distribution that the gospel demands. So if you look back at verse 34, well, verse 32, just to remind you again, Jesus said, "Whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. But whoso shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven." I want you to know that Jesus Christ, the Son of God of Scripture, is nothing like the Jesus of many American churches today. The Jesus of many American churches today is a Jesus who loves only and has no judgment. He's a Jesus who loves and accepts anyone for anything and anything that they do and does not stand against sin. He's a Jesus that requires nothing other than to say that you love and to have love. But I want you to know that Jesus Christ of the Scriptures, the one and true God of the Bible, demands that those who trust in him confess him before men. And if you don't confess him before men, if you deny him, he will deny you. Now that sounds pretty harsh against our own concepts of who Jesus is. But listen, friends, you can read it right here in your Bible yourself. It's in red and white in my Bible. He says, if you confess me, I'll confess you. If you deny me, I will deny you. And we can confess Christ with our actions and with our words. With what we say and what we do, we ought to confess Christ. And we can deny Christ in like manner. By what we say and what we do, we can deny him. We can deny him with our deeds. We can deny him with our tongue. And both of those will result in a denial before the Father. Friends, listen, in other words, if you've really trusted Christ, your life's going to show it. If you're saved, you'll live like you're saved. And if you deny him with your life and deny him with your words, then he's going to deny you before his heavenly Father. Now listen, he has given us everything we need to live for him and to confess him before men. He's given us his word, he's given us his spirit so that we can live for him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So tonight we see the division the gospel brings. He has a high requirement. In verse 34, again, he says something that seems to be contradictory to the Jesus most people are following today. "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." I don't see a lot of people post on Facebook like this about Jesus. I talk to a lot of people who are living in all kinds of sin, and they tell me that God loves them, and certainly God does love them, but God doesn't love the lifestyle they're living. He hates that sin. And Jesus Christ, though he came to be the Prince of Peace, what he came to do is bring peace between mankind and God. He came to reconcile us to God. We were enemies of God. We were at enmity with God. We had division between us and God. And Jesus Christ came to take away that division and to bring reconciliation between us and God. He is the Prince of Peace. And we have no peace with God except through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But what happens when people start believing the gospel and following Christ is that people will have division between them and others. And what does a sword do? A sword cuts, a sword pierces, a sword divides. A sword brings war. And that's what he's saying is, when I came, I didn't come to bring peace on the earth. As a matter of fact, I came to bring division. I came to bring a sword. Because I am come, verse 35, to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. And we studied just a couple of weeks ago. He said that brother, verse 21, shall deliver brother to death, and father, the child, and children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And so Jesus said, listen, some people are going to start believing the gospel. When you do that, you're going to be hated of your own family. And we don't see this much in the United States of America today, though people who really live for the gospel will bring some division. But I've told you many times about Rosinda Pruneda, a good pastor friend of mine down in Mexico, and I haven't talked to him in years, but Brother Pruneda has done a great work for the Lord, and he said people in Mexico, when they get saved, the majority of them are Catholic, and they get saved, they're born again, they tell their family, "I've been born again." Their family's like, "Oh man, that's great that you got born again." And I say, I want you to come. I'm going to be baptized at the Baptist church. And they say, oh, no. You can be born again. That's all good and well, but you're not going to get baptized. You've already been baptized. We baptized you when you were a baby. You're a Catholic. And families will literally disown their children because they're baptized into the Baptist church. They literally, some of them have had funerals for their own children. You see, when you start to follow the gospel, you're going to be set at variance. You think that's bad? I want you to think about Christians in Iraq and Iran, Afghanistan and Syria and other places in the world today. Listen, Christians there, when they leave Islam and they trust Christ, their families literally will murder them. Fathers will have their own children put to death. And children will have their own parents put to death because they have followed the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus said this is what he's talking about when he says, I'm come to set a man at variance against his father, against her mother, a daughter against her mother, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's foes shall be they of his own household. See, the gospel brings peace with God, but it brings division among mankind. It brings division among mankind. I want to tell you that even among Christians that aren't family, it's amazing the disconnect that there is with some Christians. I was watching a video. There was a guy that was in a mall, and he was preaching the gospel. And it wasn't like he had a bullhorn. You know, I've seen some of those guys on the street corner. They got a bullhorn. They're kind of yelling at everybody. But this guy and his friend were just walking around the mall. They had some gospel tracts. They were just walking up to people, starting conversations. And they're having a conversation with a couple other people. And apparently one of the store owners come back and said, you can't do that. You're soliciting. You see, they didn't want the gospel being preached out there. Now, these guys could have been hitting on some girls trying to get their numbers, and nobody would have had a problem with that. They could have been trying to do anything in the world, but preaching the gospel was not acceptable in this mall. And so the mall security comes over and tries to run them off. And in the video, the guy starts videoing, and he says, listen, I'm a combat vet. I fought for the freedom to do this. We have freedom of speech. We can do this. And the guy says, the mall security guard says, no. You, this is private property. You can't do that there. You can't do that here. That's soliciting. You can't do that here. Which, by the way, there's precedent set in court that you can do that at a mall because though it's private property, it's still a public venue. And you can most certainly go around and share the gospel there just like you can on the sidewalk. So next time in your mall you want to share the gospel, you have the free right to do that. I don't know why anybody would want to go to the mall other than to share the gospel, but... So they went through this whole discourse, and in the middle of it, the security guard who's telling them they can't preach the gospel reaches into his shirt and he pulls out a cross necklace and he says, you don't think I know what you're talking about? He puts his cross back up and the guy says, I don't really care what you're wearing. We're trying to preach the gospel. You say you're a Christian. You ought to be for that. And the mall cop says this, I'm not a radical Christian like you are. I'm a regular Christian. He goes on to say that preaching the gospel is great, but you ought to keep it in the church where it belongs. You know what's sad about that? Is mall cop is 110% right. That is regular Christianity today. Keep the preaching in the church. Don't tell anybody out there. That's too radical. Well, let me encourage you today. We need to be radical. Amen. You know what's going to happen? It's going to cause division. It's going to cause division in your family. It's going to cause division with so-called Christians with their little necklaces that are just regular Christians. It's going to cause division with other people, but that's what the gospel does. It brings division. And don't be scared of that division. I'd rather be counted with Christ and his true disciples than be a regular Christian. Not everybody's going to hug your neck and say thank you for sharing the gospel with them. Some of them are going to hate you for it. They're going to call you a radical. They're going to hate you. They're going to disown you. And if you go to some other countries, they may even try to kill you. But rather to die being obedient to Christ than to live and be a regular Christian. Amen. So the division the gospel brings. Number two, the dedication the gospel requires. The dedication the gospel requires. Look at verse 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. In another place, Jesus said that we had to hate our mother and father and sister and brother, yea, our own soul only. You say, wait a minute, I can't hate somebody. We're not supposed to hate. But here he gives us an understanding of what he's talking about when he says that. He says, you've got to love him more than you do anybody else. And if you don't love him more than you love anybody else, you are not worthy of me. In other words, you have no part with me. In other words, you're not really following me. If you don't love me more than everybody else, including your own self, you are not worthy to call yourself a Christian. You're not a real disciple. I'm going to be honest with you today. I don't have too much trouble loving Jesus more than I love everybody else. I do have trouble loving Jesus more than I love myself. We got to get to a place where we love him more than we love anybody else. And I'll never forget the illustration. My pastor growing up always said, you know, if you try to hold somebody else up, you love them first. You can hold them up so high. But if you put Jesus where he belongs, you hold God up as high as he's supposed to be. And you put your family second, they're way higher than you could ever hold them on your own. It's a better illustration when you're 6'4". But you get the point. When you put God in his position, which is infinitely higher than everybody else, and then you put your family second, he holds them higher than you could ever hold them on your own, trying to put them in first place. You ought to love your mom and dad, but you ought to love Christ more. You ought to love your children, but you ought to love Christ more. Verse 38 says, he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. The cross represents one thing. We live in a world today, you see somebody with a cross, you think they're a Christian, like mall cop. Think I don't know what you're talking about? Look at my cross necklace. Radical. We put crosses on our shirts, we put crosses in our church logo, we put crosses, it identifies us as Christians. But I want you to know that in Christ's day, the cross didn't represent Christians, it represented death. You see, after they scourged Jesus, and after Pilate finally got done with it and he washed his hands and said, see ye to it, they took Jesus and they compelled him to carry his cross, but he was so weak from the blood loss, he couldn't carry his own cross. And so they compelled one from the crowd to carry it for him. But everybody that carried a cross in that day was carrying that cross to their death. And that's exactly what we have to do if we're going to follow Jesus. We have to die to self. And Paul said, I die daily. We need to die to ourselves every single day. When we wake up in the morning, we ought to pray, God, please help me to die to myself today. To die to the lust of the flesh, to die to the lust of the eyes, to die to the pride of life. Help me to die to my selfishness. Help me to die to my fleshly desires. Help me to die to the old man. Let me be crucified with Christ so that I can live, but not I, but Christ, that you'll live in me. We ought to pray every day that God would help us, because when we take up our cross, what we're doing is we're saying, I want to die today. I don't want to live for me. I want to live for you. He says, take up your cross and follow after me. How is it that we're going to follow after Jesus? I mean, he died almost 2,000 years ago. We follow him by following his word. You'd be hard-pressed to follow his word if you never read his word. I think Sunday school is a good thing. All the Sunday school teachers said amen. I know preaching in God's house is a good thing, because he said to do that. I think our Wednesday night Bible study is a good thing. But I want to tell you, if you don't study your Bible on your own at home, you can't follow Jesus. Jesus said in John chapter 8, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. If we want to be real disciples indeed, if we want to be real, like it says on the banner, if we want to be real, which is supposed to be our theme for the year, if we want to be real, then we have to continue in the Word. If we're not continuing in the Word on our own, if we're not daily in the Word, there's no way that we can follow Jesus. So we've got to take up our cross, die to ourselves. We've got to follow after him. And if we're not doing that, we're not dying to self, if we're living for self, we're not worthy of him. If we're not following him, if we're following our own path, then we're not worthy of him. And I don't know about you, but this, where Jesus keeps saying, you're not worthy of me, you're not worthy of me, you're not worthy of me, I get that. You and I can feel that way. I know I'm not worthy of him. But it's not the way that we say it. He's saying, you are not really following me. You can't claim to be a Christian. You can't claim to be my disciple. That's what he's saying. No, of course none of us are worthy in of ourselves. But we've been born again. We're born again of the Holy Spirit of God. We are worthy because he's made us worthy. What he's saying is you're not fit to call yourself a Christian. You're not fit to call yourself a Christ follower if you don't love me more than anything, if you don't take up your cross and follow me. Verse 39, he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He's using a play on words here. And he says, if you find your life, you'll lose it. In other words, if you'll find your physical life, then you're going to lose your life. But if you'll lose your physical life for my sake, then you'll find life. He's talking about two different lives. He's talking about our physical life here and now, and he's talking about eternal life. And if you want to hold on to your physical life, if you're not willing to give up your life for him, then you're not really going to have eternal life. But if you're willing to give up your life now, if you're willing to sacrifice yourself here and now, to be a living sacrifice for God now, then you'll gain eternal life. You guys with me? Sounds a lot like works-based salvation, doesn't it? But it's not. You see, those who have truly come to faith in Jesus Christ know that this life is nothing. This life is nothing. To live as Christ and to die as gain. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. And we need to be willing to lay down our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. That, dear friends, is the dedication that the gospel requires. So that we see the division that the gospel brings, we see the dedication the gospel requires, and lastly, the distribution the gospel demands. We're in verse 40. Stay with me. I know some of you are hot right now, but just be glad we're not outside in the parking lot. It's a little warm, but that's hot. Stay with me. Now, everything that Jesus has said so far, he says, listen, if you deny me, I'm going to deny you before my Father. He says, listen, don't think I came to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. He said, I came to set variance in your own house. Your foes will be in your own household. He said, listen, if you don't love me more than everybody else, you're not worthy. He said, if you don't take up your cross, if you don't die to yourself and follow me, you're not worthy. He said, listen, unless you're willing to lose your life here and now for my sake, you'll never find eternal life. That's all a little bit discouraging, isn't it? I mean, he's like, it's kind of rough, isn't it? And so in verse 40, he starts to offer a little bit of encouragement. Not everybody's going to hate you. Not everybody's going to deny you. Not everything's going to be horrible, because there are going to be those who will receive you. And so he wants to give them some encouragement. Look at verse 40. He that receiveth you receiveth me. Listen, when you go into a town, you start preaching the gospel, if they'll receive you and they'll receive your message, then they will receive me. That's good news. And we see that when Jesus would go preach, some people would believe, some people weren't sure, some people would deny him outright. The same thing happened through all the book of Acts and through all the different epistles. We see people, when the preaching happened, some would believe, some weren't sure, and some would deny him. But there were those who would receive them. And he says, listen, those that receive you will receive me. And look at this. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He said, listen, if they'll get you, if they'll take you, if they'll receive you, then they'll receive me. And if they receive me, then they receive God. Isn't that good? Amen. Not everybody's going to hate you. Not everybody's going to reject you. There are going to be those who will receive. Look at verse 41. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. A prophet here is not one that foretells the future, but this is one that preaches the word of God. He says, listen, when they receive the preacher, They receive the preaching, then they'll receive the reward of preaching. And he goes on to say, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. There are going to be those that will receive you when they receive you. They'll receive me when they receive me. They'll receive the Father. And when they receive the preaching, they'll receive the prophet's, the preaching reward. When they receive a good man, then they'll receive the good man's reward. Verse 42 says, and whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. He said there are going to be those that receive you. They're going to receive the preaching. They're going to receive the good deeds that you do. And when they get all of that, they're going to be blessed. And when they are a blessing back to you, from the least to the greatest. Listen, there were some people that give a lot more than a cup of cold water, but anybody could give a cup of cold water. The poorest in town could go to the well and draw. The poorest in town could get that cup and bring it to a disciple and give. And he said, if they'll do that, even if they only do that, they will in no wise lose their reward. There are going to be those that will accept you. They'll receive you. They'll receive me. They'll receive my Father, and they will receive the rewards that come from the preaching and the good deeds that you go to do. Amen? Amen. I've often wondered why people in this world hate Christians so much. It may be because Christians so-called don't really live like Christians who are Christians indeed. But you know, if we're obeying the commandments, you know, Christians make the best employees a person could have. If somebody's really a Christian, then they're going to be hardworking, they're going to be honest, they're not going to steal from you. They're going to do their very, very best every day because they're not doing it for you, they're doing it for the Lord. I mean, Christians should be the best employees an employer could have. If you got to do business with somebody, you'd like to do business with a Christian because they have an obligation to be honest. They're supposed to be honest. They're supposed to be above board in all their dealings. They're supposed to give an honest report, and they're supposed to do those things. You know, the reality is that God's saying here, if they'll just receive you, they'll be blessed by you just being around. It reminds me of the Old Testament. Obed-Edom was blessed just because the ark of the Lord was there. You remember in 2 Samuel 6, they put the ark on a cart, which they weren't supposed to do, and it started to stumble, and Uzzah reached out to touch it, and the Lord struck him dead, and David was displeased with the Lord. I've always thought, man, you got some guts, David, to be displeased with the Lord. But he was upset with the Lord. He said, how can I bring the ark into my house? He says in verse 9, and David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David, but David carried it aside in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. And it was told King David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. Listen, he didn't have to do anything. He didn't have a high priest there to offer sacrifices or anything else. Just the ark being in his house, God blessed him because the ark was there. Just the presence of it blessed him. It ought to be that when we go out of this place, that people are blessed just by us being around. You know that? Have you ever had somebody come to your house or to your business or come by where you were, and when you saw them pull in, you were just like, oh. Anybody else? Brother Billy obviously has experienced that. Has anybody ever felt that way? When I come to see you at your house, you better not. It ought to be that when one of us shows up at somebody's house, there's a little joy in their heart because we're a blessing to them. And you know what the key to all of this blessing that the apostles were? Because they came preaching the gospel. That's why they were a blessing. So we see verses 41 to 42, we see the encouragement. He says, listen, those that receive you, they'll receive me, they'll receive him that sent me. In verse 1 of chapter 11, he says, and it came to pass when Jesus has made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. And we find in Mark's account, chapter 6, verse 12, Mark 6, 12, and they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. And in Luke chapter 9 and verse 6, Luke 9, 6 says, and they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. You see, he said, if you receive a prophet, they'll get a prophet's reward. If they receive a righteous man, they'll receive a righteous man's reward. What was he saying? You're going to go and preach. And if they'll receive the preaching, that they'll be blessed. You're going to go and you're going to do good deeds. And if they'll receive your good deeds, then they'll be blessed. And so that's what they went. He gave them encouragement, but then there was the engagement. They got busy doing what Jesus sent them to do. And none of us have the ability to lay hands and heal anybody. None of us can go up to the hospital right now and put our hands on somebody and make them whole. God doesn't work like that anymore. But we can go and we can pray for people. And we can help in whatever way we can. We can do good. As much as lies in you, we can do good, especially to those that are the household of faith. And we can go and we can do good to people. We can do righteous deeds to people. We can help somebody change a flat. We can help somebody get some groceries. We can do all kinds of things to help people that are in need. And the greatest thing of all we can do for anybody is to go and preach the gospel. Some people don't want to hear the gospel. Gave a guy a gospel tract at lunch. He said, are you a Jehovah's Witness? I said, no, I'm worse. I'm a Baptist. He said, no, those Jehovah's Witnesses are the worst. They just won't take no for an answer. They just keep coming back no matter how many times. It's not the first time I've been likened to a Jehovah's Witness. They're known for going from door to door to share their message. You know what's sad? Is when they do a better job of sharing a false gospel than we do of sharing the true gospel. I'd like it to be in this town when somebody goes knocking on somebody's door that they don't first think, oh, there's the Jehovah's Witnesses. I hope they think, oh, there's Calvary again. Amen? Not everybody's going to love us for that, but it's what we ought to be known for, is to go and preach the gospel. We can't do the miracles, but we can do the greatest thing. We can share the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. This evening, as we get ready for an invitation, would you stand with me, please? The gospel brings division. The gospel requires dedication. The gospel demands distribution. It's a Sunday night and you're hot, you're tired. But I plead with God that He would help all of us to be obedient tonight. We don't have any division from the gospel because we don't share the gospel like we should. If we're honest tonight, none of us are as dedicated to the cause of Christ as we ought to be. Few of us have ever taken up a cross, much less daily. And most of us are living for this life rather than letting go of this life to live for the life to come. I pray tonight if the Holy Spirit's convicting your heart, you'd come. You'd bow your knee before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we would repent and confess any sin that's in our life, any failure to do what He's called us to do. And we would ask for His grace, power of His Spirit, to help us to live out the gospel. Like He sent out His apostles, He sent His church today. As the Father sent me, even so send I you, Jesus said. So let's go and take the gospel the way He wants us to. But let's make sure our hearts are right with Him tonight while we sing. Thank you.